It's a sanctuary, a place of strength and calm, a haven from the storms of life when all hope seems gone. It's a tabernacle, a place that stays the same though life may change. I need a special place where God meets with His children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits fed. We need the church. We need the church.
They were singing. I was going back to the auditorium, empty. Dumb camera. Nobody in the pews. You say, well, we were the church. No, you weren't. Church is an assembly. This is the church. We need the church. Whether you think you do or not, God said you did. So I want them to sing that again. That's a great song. I think it's a rather new song, isn't it? Kind of new. And, y'all hear it okay out there? Can you hear? Can you hear? I can't hear up here. So the third symptom of coronavirus is you lose your hearing. Amen. So I still can taste and smell. But if you can hear, that's what matters. So I'd like to hear that again. And if you've lost something here about being here this morning, then go back to May. Go back to April. We need the church. Let's hear it again. Amen.
It's a sanctuary, a place of strength and calm, a haven from the storms of life. When all hope seems gone, it's a tabernacle, a place that stays the same, though life may change. special place where God meets with His children. The place where hurt is healed and hearts made whole. Where burdens shared are lifted and our spirits led. We need the church. We need the church.
Singing twice. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to jump right in. We're not going to stand for the scripture. I'm going to pray. We're going to read one verse in Matthew 1. But I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible open, please, because we're going to use them this morning, maybe a little bit more than usual, to turn to other places in the book. And this is one that you probably should have a pen ready and some paper so you'll be able to defend what I'm going to preach about this morning, especially in this day and age. Follow along verse number 23 in chapter 1. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want to speak today on America's Holocaust. America's Holocaust. Father, bless the message. Thank you for the wonderful song. Well, we need the church. We believe that with all of our heart, not because of our experience, although our experience agrees with that. But Lord, we believe it first and foremost because you said it. And your word is true. And I thank you for the wonderful music. And I trust it's been used to prepare our hearts now for your word, that the Holy Spirit would have his way in this service and bring anybody to Christ who's not yet saved. And Lord, help people to get this truth down. In the days as we move forward, I pray in Jesus' name and amen. You mentioned the word Holocaust and immediately the thought of the evil Adolf Hitler and his murder of 6 million Jews comes to mind. Truly, that was a Holocaust. The definition of Holocaust is, quote, any mass slaughter or reckless destruction of life. Most people, when you say the word Holocaust, they think of that systematic mass slaughter of European Jews in Nazi concentration camps during World War II. And again, most counts place the number of dead at least, if not over, 6 million. That is a horrible chapter in the history of mankind. One we should never forget, much less deny. And I would recommend if you get on anybody's website who claims to be Christian, even a preacher, and denies the Holocaust, I would get off of his website and never go back. However, another Holocaust has been committed over the years. It has been at the hand of socialist communist governments. According to some accounts, of the 6 million people that Hitler murdered, approximately 150,000 of those were German citizens. And that's appalling that a government would kill its own citizens. But that 150,000, if that's accurate, that number pales in comparison to the citizens murdered by their own socialist governments. For example, in China, Chairman Mao Zedong, there were between 40 and 70 million murdered. In the USSR, under Joseph Stalin alone, there were 20 million murdered. Under other leaders in the USSR, which you remember was a confederation of about 14 countries, other leaders outside of Stalin, there were 40 million murdered. In Cambodia, under Pol Pot, there were 4 million murdered. In North Korea, under Kim Il-sung, 5.5 million murdered. In Yugoslavia, under Joseph Tito, 1.5 million murdered. In Ethiopia, under Mengistu, 1 million murdered. In Indonesia, under Suharto, 1 million murdered. In Afghanistan, under Brezhnev's oversight, 1 million murdered. That does not include the European nations where less than 1 million were killed, like Romania. Now, the numbers I just gave you total up to over between 120 and 150 plus million murdered by socialist, communist, Marxist regimes. That's horrible. Again, take into consideration that these were citizens of those countries, murdered by their own governments. The modes of murder vary from concentration camps to in the gas chambers in the concentration camps to starvation to forced labor. And to think that we've got people in this country right now who are demonstrating and rioting and burning, all the while calling for a more socialistic form of government. And those people influencing one of the candidates for president. It's horrible. But people as ugly and wicked and disgusting as those statistics are to the average American, even worse to the American Christian, we have a greater Holocaust in progress right here in our own country. This Holocaust is couched in names like pro-choice. It's couched in names like women's rights. It's supported by groups like Planned Parenthood. The term we all come to know this Holocaust by is abortion. Abortion. Now, are you ready for this statistic? Since the infamous Supreme Court decision in 1973, known as Roe v. Wade, in America, not around the world, in this country, there have been approximately 62 million babies murdered. Now, go back to the list I just gave you. That number puts us equal to or greater than the number of people murdered in the Soviet Union under several dictators. That number puts us close to the high end of the number of people murdered in Red China by Chairman Mao. And people, as in all of those socialist communist countries, America has murdered its own to become citizens. You say they're unborn, yes, but if born, automatically they would have been citizens. Now, I think there's some dispute amongst, you know, if an illegal immigrant's in the country, birth a baby. I don't know how all that works, but listen, there is no way under heaven a person who claims to be born again can be right with God and be a proponent of abortion or vote for a pro-abortion political candidate. And I'm not going to preach about this today, but why call it pro-choice? Why not call it what it is? Pro-abortion. That's another story. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Is there a verse that says, thou shalt not abort a baby? Well, not in those exact words, but there are plenty of Bible texts that speak to the fact that abortion is evil and wrong. I want to give you some ammunition this morning for what I think you believe, for what we believe as a church, so that you can stand up in the evil day. It's time, people, to let our light shine. Okay? Shouldn't be hard on this issue at all. Number one, in the womb or out of the womb. In the womb or out of the womb. The Bible refers to a baby as a living human being. A living human being. I'm going to prove this from the Word of God. The Bible clearly speaks to the fact that a baby in the womb of a woman is a child, not just a fetus. 26 times in the Bible, the phrase with child is used in reference to a pregnant woman. The term fetus is not used once. In Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 18. I was going to read all of this, but for sake of time, I cut some of it out. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I look down at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. Did you see that? That child in her womb was called a son. All right, down in verse number 23, we read this verse. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. So the child in the womb, in both cases here, was called a son. The first mention of the words with child take place in Genesis chapter 16, verse 11. Don't turn there because we're coming right back to Luke chapter 1. It's when the angel of the Lord came to Hagar and told her about the birth of Ishmael. That's where the Bible uses the term with child. Now, back to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse, let's go to Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry, not Matthew. Go over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 36. Luke 1 and verse 36. Here we're talking about the birth of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 36. The angel is speaking to Mary, and the angel Gabriel says in verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called Mary. So there's a son in the womb of Elizabeth. Look at verse number 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped. Where was that babe? It was in her womb. What is that babe? It's a son. The angel made that very clear. All right, now, with that in mind, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, just a page or two across the Bible there. Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 12. This is the angel's message to the shepherds after the birth of Jesus Christ. In verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, I want you to notice, folks, you put those two passages together from Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. John the Baptist was called the babe while lying in Elizabeth's womb. Jesus was called the babe while lying in the manger. The babe in the womb, the babe lying in the womb, was no less a human being than the babe lying in a manger. It's all the same. It's just not born yet. It is a living, breathing human being. Now turn over to Job chapter 3. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Job. You'll find it there right before the book of Psalms, okay? And you see what I mean. We're going to be turning in our scripture this morning, turning in the book to different scriptures. But I want you to underline them if you like doing that. Write it down. Go back and read it later in more detail. In Job chapter 3, let me give you Job's gone through his horrible trial. He's lost his possessions. He's lost his health. He's lost his children. He's terribly under his terrible. And he talks about he's bemoaning the day in which he was born. In other words, he says, I wished as a baby I'd never seen the light of day. Why didn't God just kill me in the womb? Okay, look what he says in verse number 16 as he's speaking here. Verse number 16. Or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been. He's wishing here that he had been stillborn. He's wishing here that he had been born prematurely. No NICU units in those days to care for those babies. Remember Josiah Johnson over here? 1 pound 9 ounces. 1 pound 9 ounces. Larry and Esther could hold that young man in their hand. Now it takes 4 hands to feed him. Amen. He was that big. So he says, as in hidden untimely birth, I had not been. Now watch it in verse 16. As infants, which never saw light. So what does Job refer to that child in the womb as in verse 16? He refers to it as a what? Infant. All right, now let's go back to the New Testament. Luke chapter 18, he's talking there in Job chapter 3 about babies who were conceived and yet for one reason or another never were born or born stillborn, never saw the light of day as it is, all right? Luke chapter 18 and verse number 15, this is the story of when Jesus was surrounded by little children and the disciples were there and the little children came running up to Christ and the disciples said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. But look what he said in verse 15 of Luke 18. The Bible says, and they brought unto him also, what's the next word? Infants. Where are these infants? In the womb or out of the womb? Out of the womb. So the baby in the womb is as much an infant as the baby out of the womb. It's all the same to God. In God's eyes, an unborn infant, a newborn infant, are both living human beings. I don't know the problem that the liberal politicians and some doctors have about deciding if that's a life or not in abiding in the womb of a pregnant woman. But I'm going to tell you something. God is very adamantly sure that's a life. It's a living, breathing life. Whether the babe is lying in the womb or lying in a manger. Whether the infant is in the womb or the infant's walking up to the arms of Jesus or taken to the arms of Jesus. It's a living, breathing human being. So, in the womb or out of the womb, the Bible refers to a baby as a living human being. Number two, God demanded the death penalty for killing an unborn baby. He demanded the death penalty for killing an unborn baby. Turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. We have an interesting text here in Exodus 21 and verses 22 and 23. Again, I'll have time to develop the entire passage for you. You can look at it later. In chapter 21 of the book of Exodus, find verse number 22. Are you there? Did you find Exodus 21? All right, very good. Second book in the Bible. Verse number 22, because I want you to see it. And by the way, I was teaching my class this morning on how do you know in this day and age there's not going to be a lightning bolt from heaven. There's not going to be a physical sign that I am preaching to you, thus saith the Lord. So how do you know if what Terry Angel is saying this morning is thus saith the Lord? You got a book. That's why we want you to bring your book with you. Okay? Now, if you have one here, I don't see it. So since I can't see it, I can say it honestly. Bring your book, not your tablet. Bring your book, not your phone. There's something about the word book. Okay? God talks about a book. All right, let's look at it. Exodus chapter 21, verse number 22. All right? If men strive and hurt a woman with fetus, with what? Child. So that her fruit depart from her. What's the fruit? The child. And yet no mischief follow. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So if a man strives with a woman and injures her or her baby, and she births the baby, but the baby lives, there's to be punishment. Of some sort. The woman's husband, the judges get together and determine the punishment for the man. Verse 23. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. If the woman dies, or her baby dies, then the man who hurt her, or the baby, dies. Now you know what that's called, folks? That's called the death penalty. The death penalty was to be used as punishment for murder. Still is. Unfortunately, we got a government that's smarter than God. Unfortunate. God viewed injuring the mother or the child to the point of death worthy of the penalty for murder. Do you know what that means? Plain and simple. Abortion is murder. At 2 weeks in pregnancy, the child can move alone. There might be some definite, there might be some fudging here if you have days or two, but this is what I researched. At 2 weeks in pregnancy, the child can move alone. By 4 weeks, the child has limbs, muscle tissue, a heart and a heartbeat. Ears, eyes, and small hands are visible. By the 5th week, the child responds to touch sensations. By the 6th or 7th week, I would not encourage you to watch YouTube videos of abortions, but if you choose to, you will see where that little child tries to avoid the instrument. Avoid it. I was speaking with a woman, a Christian woman, who was expecting, and she had an ultrasound. And at the hospital where she got the ultrasound, they told her, you need to go up to a different hospital that's got better quality and higher level ultrasounds. You need a level 2 ultrasound because there is a defect with the child. And, of course, through the dad and mom, you know, and the, oh, boy, what does this mean, you know, and everything. So the ultrasound was scheduled, the level 2 ultrasound. And the woman was saying, Pastor, you can't believe the level of clarity from those level 2 ultrasounds. You lay there, they put that wand on your belly and started, or however they do it, I don't know how they do it, whether with a wand or something else. And there on the screen, panel by panel, comes a 3D full color picture. You can see every wrinkle, every little shape. See all the color of that child. Fortunately, there was no defect, none whatsoever. But in the process of both ultrasounds at some place or the other, the nurse speaking to the lady said, I know what you believe, you're a Christian, but I have to tell you your option. You don't want that birth defect baby? You can abort it. Looking at that picture, seeing every wrinkle on that baby's face, and then telling them they can take its life. That's murder. That's murder. Broke my heart as I was listening to that story. And by the way, this couple would never, ever, if there had been a birth defect noticed, diagnosed in the womb, this couple would never, ever have taken that child's life. I would not work in a place where I had to offer that to women. Nope. Wouldn't do that. 62, killing a living human being on purpose is murder in the first degree. First degree. 62 million first degree murders in the USA in the last 47 years, yet not one has ever been prosecuted. Not one. God demanded the death penalty for killing an unborn baby. Number 3 this morning, God hates the shedding of innocent blood. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6 today. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Proverbs 6 verse 16. You probably know these verses well. These are verses that deal with things that God hates. He said, Solomon the writer, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. See, Solomon made it very clear and plain that a loving God hates some things. As much as we revel in the truth that God is love, God is also holy, and His holiness results in a justified hatred for evil. And one of the actions that God hates is the killing of someone defined as having innocent blood. People, who can be more innocent than an unborn child? Who can be more innocent than an unborn child? Look, you know, we describe the sin nature as beginning at conception. I got that. We do that because the Bible teaches that truth. But an unborn child has no knowledge of sin. An unborn child has no knowledge of right and wrong. An unborn child has never chosen to sin. People, those little bitty children over in the nursery who are just a few months old, even those who are toddling around, walking 2 years old and younger, they have a sin nature. They display that sin nature. But they have no knowledge of right and wrong. They have no knowledge of good and evil at this point. There's been no willful show of disobedience to a command of God. That's why I believe with all my heart, 18-month-old baby tragically dies. You'll see that baby in heaven. It's called grace. 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 That truth, the truth of the matter is, you know, unless you show me differently, I believe those 62 million babies murdered are found in heaven. I do. That's a life. It's eternal soul. The unborn child, even the birth child, is not guilty until they exercise their will to sin. That will. As soon as that happens, they've come to the age of accountability. And they need to be taught the gospel. An unborn child is certainly innocent, and God hates the hands of those who shed innocent blood. Now, folks, if God hates the hands of those that shed innocent blood, why would you vote for a presidential candidate who is for full-term abortion? You say he's not. His party is. I don't want to go there. I'm not going. This is not a political rally, but more I'd like to say. But since I have more here, I got to get going. All right. Number four. This is the last point. And there's, by the way, there's more than this. There's 10, 12 things in the Bible. Abortion places a low value on human life. Abortion places a low value on human life. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse number 26. Very familiar. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Notice the word of God here. The Bible says in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. This is on the sixth day of creation. This is God's crowning act. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. He never said that about the plant kingdom. He never said that about the animal kingdom. But he said that about man and woman. Let us make man and woman. Let's make them a man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Both male and female created in God's own image. God put the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom in subjection to mankind. God gave mankind dominion over the plant kingdom and over the animal kingdom. Dominion. That means authority. That means power. That means rule. What does that teach us? Church, that teaches us that Adam and Eve were the crowning act of God's creative work. And to arbitrarily kill an unborn baby in the womb of the mother
is to devalue that which God highly values. That's a child. A human child made in the image of God. Now, abortion promotes the message that human life is not so valuable. A man can do with it as he pleases. And you know what? If an infant life is devalued, will we see the day when elderly life is devalued? Well, y'all been saying that for years. How we doing there, Mr. Cuomo? Who made it law that nursing homes had to provide beds for people infected with a virus that could kill, especially the... When our president and Franklin Graham both made it possible for them to have an alternative location for those sick people. Do the math. Check out the numbers. Find out how many dead in New York were in nursing homes. Why would they do that? Well, maybe, just maybe, these elderly people aren't contributing anything. They're sapping our economy, paying for their care. Oh, they would never do that. That's any different than this baby doesn't deserve to live? Or maybe the day comes when they decide that Christians don't really contribute anything to our society. In fact, they impede our agenda. What do you think happened in China? Read your book. Socialism, communism, birthed in Marxism, supports abortion. It's no wonder that the cheap value placed on unborn humans would be placed on others that the state deems unworthy to live. To put it mildly, I'm wrapping it up. God hates the devaluation of human life. And one of the reasons we know that to be true is the value that we know He places on human life. God values human life so highly that He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die for the sin of humans. That's how highly He values human life. I don't want human life to die and be separated from me in hell forever and ever and ever. So the only cure, the only solution is the perfect blood of my Son Jesus. And I value human life enough, I will give my only Son to die for the sins of man. And Jesus took upon Himself the sin of all mankind and paid the price for that sin on the cross, including the sin of abortion. You see, God hates the sin of abortion, but He loves the sinner who commits any sin, not just abortion. And God will forgive the sin if the sinner will call on Jesus Christ for salvation. Now listen, church, if that's how God values human life, how should you and I value human life? You know how you and I judge the worth of a human life? We don't properly judge the worth of a human life by the size of the house in which they live. You don't properly judge the worth of a human life by the color of their skin.
You don't properly judge the worth of human life by the amount of money stored in accounts or investments. You don't properly judge the worth of human life by the niceness of their vehicle. You do not properly judge the worth of a human life by the newness of their clothes. We judge the worth of a human life by the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to die for that life. That's how much God values a life. That's how we judge every life's worth, including the unborn. God loves you that much. He loves me that much. You may not be guilty of abortion, but you're guilty of sin. And the Bible states that if you've offended in one point, you're guilty of all. It's not the fact that people are abortionists. It's the truth that people are sinners. We're sinners. But thank God, God loves us so much and wants us to be with Him forever in throughout eternity in heaven so much that He sent His Son to go to the cross, die, be buried, and rise again for your salvation. If you've never trusted in Christ to save you from your sin, then trust Him today. Because God puts a high premium on your life. A high premium on your life. And to spend eternity apart from Him in hell is not His desire. It's not His plan. America's Holocaust. It's a horrible, horrible mark on our country. Now, I don't know what would happen if this juror was to be seated on the Supreme Court, but it could make it very interesting to overturn that horrible law. It could make it very interesting. Go vote. Go vote. Oh, it does us no good. Vote. Vote. Well, in Illinois, I know. I get it. But you know what? Not all states are like Illinois. You know how it works sometimes when we go out visiting? Collectively, people in the church spend a lot of hours out visiting, inviting people to come to church, and sometimes nobody comes. Then all of a sudden, a family walks in that nobody ever visited. It's like God just said, hey, you worked hard. I appreciate that. Here you go. So if God sees a bunch of dedicated Christians going to the polls on November 3rd and voting in the state of Illinois, then maybe God moves people in Ohio or Wisconsin or Michigan to go to the poll and vote. Well, God wouldn't do that. You don't know that. You don't know that He wouldn't do it any more than I know that He would. But it sure would be worth a try. America's Holocaust. It's sad, isn't it? And I'm as guilty as anybody else. It's been so many and so long that we kind of forget. 62 million in this country. Father in heaven, we love You. We thank You for Your word. It makes things very clear, crystal, plain. And Lord, I just pray that You will take this message and help us, Lord, as we defend the arsenal of what we believe as Your people. Thank You for the value You place on human life, so much so that You sent Your only Son to die for us so we could be saved. Lord, I don't know the past and the history of so many different people in this room. And I know one thing. I know that You're a loving God ready and anxious to forgive and cleanse of any sin, wash away any sin. And I pray that if there's somebody in the room this morning who's not saved, I pray that you'll draw that person to Christ. And Lord, if there's somebody here today who's had a rough stretch, maybe got away from you and has some regrets, I pray that you'll help them to embrace the forgiveness that's in Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts, and God, would you please help our country? Would you please guide in this election? Not because we deserve it, but because we know you're a merciful God. We call out to you this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. Pastor, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that in the room? You're not sure that you're saved? Can I pray for you this morning? I see a small child's hand. God bless you. The Spirit of God works on the hearts of children to start drawing them to Christ. That's wonderful. If anybody's here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized. I believe Brother Allen's ready to baptize one of our teenagers that rides in. Then you can come this morning and we can get you fixed up for baptism now or later. Now, I would imagine that 99.5% of the people here, I preach to the choir this morning. You get it. You understand it. But don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe. Take a stand. When you have the opportunity, influence. I don't have time to tell you a story this morning that I live with as a regret. When I had an opportunity to help somebody and just waited too long. Stand up for what you believe. Stand with the right spirit. Stand. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist begins the song of invitation. And if you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven to live with that God who loved you enough that He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. If you're not sure about that, we can have some man show you from the Bible. If you're a man or a boy, we can have a lady show you. If you're a girl or a woman, if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. Thank the Lord this morning for life. Thank the Lord this morning that your mother chose life. Your mother chose life. And if you haven't been, please start praying for this country and this election. I'm not going to encourage you to hit the streets and give your time distributing literature or whatever, but I am encouraging you to pray. Pray, pray, pray. God values human life. One of the parties running for office places a higher value on human life than the other by far. That one issue alone settles it, or should settle it for God's people. God bless our church this week. Help us, I pray, to take opportunity to stand for you, to stand for right, for truth in every situation we encounter. May we not be ashamed in this day and age of your word and what it teaches. Bless this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.